Cry miniseries.
The Shooting Star She Saw.
Created by Opal Song.
And Arkadyevna.
Fandoms Queer Eye, Netflix, and Gundam Wing. Rating, teen, for language. It's always for language. Relationships, Jen.
When you are around, oh yeah, things keep getting better. Things keep getting better. Things keep getting better. Things keep getting better. Better, better. Things keep getting better.
This is the second of our two Queer Eye Gundam Wing AUs. We just recorded the Gundam guys as the Fab Five, and we're now going to move on to the It Should Probably Be Six Different Fix. Five different fix of the Fab Five get the Netflix's Fab Five get a hold of the Gundam guys pretty much immediately.
Yeah, post-war. Very close canon.
Or a little bit. Yeah, close canon. Close Gundam Wing canon. And, like, yeah, crossover with Queer Eye. So, concept. Queer Eye gets a hold. I mean, we started this with Queer Eye gets a hold of Hero Yui.
Yeah, it's an adventure.
And I feel like we should just, like, go with Queer Eye gets a hold of Hero Yui and just sort of talk about what various people would do with the other Gundam guys as it comes up. But let's focus on Hero to give this a little bit of focus.
Yeah, because we talked out Hero. That was
in a more streamlined version. We decided that the reason that Hero gets Queer Eyed is that Relina and Catra sort of, and they probably get Duo on board, but it's post-war. Relina has been binging Netflix between, like, millions of meetings while being queen of the world, and she loves to binge Queer Eye. And they just, like, wrapped up a season on Netflix. Like, it posted. It's been a couple, like a couple weeks or a month or so or whatever. Anyway, and so she approaches Netflix about the opportunity that she has these five guys. They were all soldiers in the war. And they need help. Because, like, it's not immediately after the war. It's been maximum a year, but it like minimum 6 months, maximum a year after the war. So it's been a little bit of time, but, like, not that much. And so Relina approaches Netflix and is like, look, I have these five guys. They were instrumental to the war. We can't tell you what side they were on or any of that. Not really. Assume they were kind of on the colony side, but, like, they need help. They need a lot of help, and I would love it if, like, Netflix and the Fab Five, you know, did, like, five full episodes on that.
Like, a special to, like, celebrate the 1 year at, like, end of the war.
Exactly. Like, special 1 year end of the war. Here, look, these five soldiers are now doing great.
Kind of.
With some
help. A lot of help.
So, and then she gets, like, I feel like Catra is on board, mostly because like, he's watched the show, he likes the show, and he's on board, like, as himself, mostly for the promotion value. He doesn't really think he needs it.
Oh, honey.
Duo is on board.
Oh, just I was about to say. What? Oh, Q, honey, you've got a big storm coming.
Yeah. Duo is on board mostly for the lulz. He's seen the show. He likes the show. He's like, oh, yeah. Like, let's do this thing. Like, let's have them make over my wardrobe and my eating habits. And let's see what Karamo thinks when I start to unload.
God. Oh, no.
Like, oh, man. And he's also in because, like, things get really serious for Duo. Like, the guys take it really seriously. And Duo's like, lols. Only then he actually ends up getting his shit together and getting helped. I feel like Troa buys in. Like, he's like, okay, let's do this.
But also, it's kind of incredible the amount of trouble that they have with Tro, just because he's so mysterious.
So mysterious, and, like, I feel like he buys in, but in a very, like, I am in, but only so far. Like, I don't, like, he doesn't expect it to affect him the way it does. Like, Catra sort of figures, like, he's got problems, but nothing that they can fix. Duo's like, lol, trolling. And Troa's just like, you know, I'm willing to let them in, but only so far. And they end up way deeper.
And then...
And then, so Hero goes for it mostly because Relina, Catra, and Duo tell him to. And he's like, this is fucking stupid, but fine. If it will help the peace, I'm in.
And, Wufei.
And then there's Wufei.
Oh,
Wufei. Yeah. Yeah, Wufei. Then there's Wufei. Wufei only goes for it because all the other, like, because the other four have already signed on. And when Hero signs on, he's like, fuck you, Yui, you traitor. Like,
now I have to do this.
Now I look like a coward if I don't. This makes it, this does make it really interesting because most of the time when the Fab Five go to someone, like they're the person that they make over is okay. So they call them their heroes, but that will just get confusing. So I'm just going to keep going with the person they make over. Because as much as I love that they call them their heroes, it seriously will just get confusing with actual hero involved. Most of the time, the people that they're making over are on board, or at least mostly on board with what's going on. They seem positive about being on the show.
Like,
and
some are a bit apprehensive.
Like, almost. Yeah, but most of them are, like, very, okay, I want this. I want you to help me. And here are five guys who either don't believe that they need help or are so resistant to the idea of help.
Yeah.
Or Troa, who is on board. But what?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's just dive in. Let's start,
Do we want to, because honestly, I think starting with Hero is good.
I was thinking we would do a different, like, we would do a Fab Five guy and just sort of go through
that's a lot
people.
Cleaner. Okay.
So which guy, do you want to start with Fashion?
You can start with Fashion.
Okay.
Okay. So because we basically thought all through Hero and Tan, we'll start with that first.
Why don't you okay, recap? Because so I don't remember.
Recap on Tan and Hero is...
I mean, I do... I would like to say the one thing that I am really enjoying imagining is Tan looking at Hero's wardrobe.
And just...
And it's just all spandex and tank and like, tops.
And, like, two suits. If that.
Yeah.
Courtesy of Rilina. So, basically, in looking at Hero's wardrobe for a start, it's extremely organized, but extremely minimal.
Minimal is probably very generous.
He wears the same thing. He has, like... seven, if that note, he probably has at least 10 because, you know, wash cycles. But
oh, I was thinking he had like four.
Okay, he has four of everything.
And he just washes them regularly.
And basically wears the same thing all the time. When Tan is like, okay, well, let's get you to be a bit more adventurous. And Hero's just like, why? What is the necessity of alternate clothing? I'm comfortable. there is no other reason.
And possibly if he's in the Preventers at this point, yes. Like, he has a uniform. So, like, he has a bunch of different, his uniforms. Like, he has all the uniforms mm-hmm. that were issued to
and
him.
And then he also has, like, a few items that he's used in, like, undercover work. So, like, he has some pairs of jeans. He has, like, a hoodie.
Oh my gosh. Sorry.
No, go for it.
He definitely has several terrible t-shirts with, like, slogans on yes. them that Duo gave him.
Tan is appalled.
Just, like... they've no. never been worn.
Like, they still have the tags on.
No, they've been worn once or twice. One or two of them have been worn on undercover work. They're part of his undercover pile. Also, he definitely has, like, an evening dress. Just in his closet. And Tan is like,
do we need to have...
And all the guys... Yeah,
just, do we need to have like, a conversation? All the Fab Five are like... to tell me?
And all the Fab Five are like, especially somebody's like, oh man, you gotta model it. Because, you know, just because he's like, that was for an undercover job.
Oh my god.
And they're like, you have to put it on. And yeah. so he does. And he like, and here's the thing. He does like a full face of makeup and puts like hair stuff in because he learned how to do this shit.
Jonathan is like blown away.
And so he comes out and he walks in like heels and stuff and just like he actually has like a sway sensual walk in the heels because he learned this.
He's got the balance. He's got everything he needs.
And then of course they're like, wow, you know, like you did all of that, blah, 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 blah. And then he turns it off and he's just Hero in a dress. And he, like, walks back to, like, his room to get changed out of it. And just, like, there's no sensual
just, like,
sway.
It's just, like...
It's, like, him just... it's Hero in a dress. And they're like, what just happened?
Okay, but Tan actually going through and doing the thing. So he takes Hero out.
Less of the lulls, more of the, like, actual.
So he takes Hero out to a store, and he starts asking him, okay, so what kind of clothing do you like? And it's literally confined to, I'm comfortable in what I own. And Tan is like, okay, well, let's start with a favorite color. Yeah.
That's right, we had Hero we had Hero colors. In color theory.
So basically what this boils down to is Hero standing in this store getting really fucking annoyed at that question. And basically having a mini rant at how he doesn't understand why people have to have favorite colors. Basically because he just doesn't understand why it's a thing. A color is a color, and like, sure, like, he doesn't get how wearing a certain color changes anything about him or liking a certain color. It's just completely foreign to him.
Yeah, like he understands why specific colors are good for specific things. Like, if you want to camouflage in snow, you wear white and gray. If you want to like sneak around in the dark, you wear black and gray. Like that sort of stuff. You want to, like, in different environments, he understands different, like, that you wear different things. Like, he understands that. Like, it can be used as an outward thing. He does not understand having it, like, liking one color more than the rest. Like, he doesn't
understand it being an aesthetic choice.
Yeah, like, it's always a use thing. Like, how am I using this color? Like, if I have a color on me, like, how is this useful? His tank tops are all green because that's the color I came in.
Okay, so
there was no aesthetic choice. So
basically,
there.
Tan is like, oh my god, this poor child. and basically, they sit down, and Tan explains that fashion and clothing aren't just necessities. Sure, they are, and you need to wear clothes. Tan as well, he would.
Please, hero, like, continue to wear I mean, you don't have to be wearing them right now, you're so attractive.
Literally, Jonathan,
but like, yeah, Jonathan in the background, it's like, no, he doesn't, he can just totally walk around naked, it's fine.
I mean they're not always necessary, and I mean, it's a personal choice.
Tan is like, well, if you don't want to get arrested.
But yeah, he sits him down and he tells him, like, that fashion can be used to express a lot of different things. Like, if you, like, particularly color choices. Like, if you say, you like, being in a professional setting, blue is technically considered to be the most professional color. It's actually, like, proven. To, like, if you're wearing navy or something, it's considered more of a professional color for interviews, for example. Like, wearing different louder colors can express something about your personality. Wearing black, for example, is quite a somber color. There's a reason why it's used as a funeral color. Like, there's a lot of different ways with color, but also in fashion choice. Like, sure, there's gendered fashion, but it doesn't really matter. In terms of, like, you wear a suit for a formal event, or you wear something that's more formal for a formal event. There's casual clothing for casual events. There's, then there's also, like, using a jacket, obviously, as like, a funky jacket to express something about yourself, or using a color that you really like, or a color that's really bright, to express something, or express a style, or express something about you.
And we had also talked about how Karamo comes in and they sort of walk Hiro through together about how clothing and mannerisms and stuff signal, like, in-group, out-group, signal things about you. Like, and how this is a way to interact with people. And Hiro really latches onto that because this is peacetime. He can't just shoot people. Like, And it's hard to know who is safe and who is not. And so this is learning about how, like, you know, if I wear a Star, like, you know, if somebody wears a Star Wars t-shirt, like a t-shirt with a Star Wars character or slogan or whatever, and somebody else sees that t-shirt, they know that presumably you like Star Wars.
And that can open up conversations.
Because you're wearing... Yeah, and that can open up conversation. They talk about how wearing headphones is a, like, even if you're not listening to anything, because Hiro would probably object and go, like, I would never, like, diminish my peripheral
and, like, my spatial
senses.
Awareness.
Yeah, my situational awareness with listening to music in public, and they would be like, no, but if you put headphones in, especially if they're big and bulky and very visible, it signals to people, or it should signal to people, that you don't want to be bothered. And, like, it's a good signaling tactic to say, don't talk to me. You know? And all of that sort of stuff. And so together they sort of take him through what your appearance, what your mannerisms can say about you. Because, Hiro, you're saying a lot about yourself with what you currently wear. Make sure it's what you want to say about yourself.
So, long story short, basically, Tan ends up getting him a few outfits to try out, including a suit, which, come back to that. But I want to talk about the mesh shirt. Basically, there's this thing in the show where once you get the clothing, you go back to wherever you're, like, wherever the guys have congregated. And there's always, like, a little fashion show, or, like, they show it off.
And right, yes.
There's this mesh shirt.
Oh, right! Tan just, like, gets him something, like, super wild. Just to see, like something that most of the guys
It was a crop top.
Yeah! Most of the guys, they would say they, like, most of the guys that they would have on the show would be like, no, I'm not wearing that. But Hiro just puts it on, and yeah, it's a...
yoga pants. It was yoga pants.
Oh my gosh, yes, crop top and yoga pants. And he's like, this is, lol, the replacement for what he for the spandex and tank top. It's slightly more, like, fashion forward.
It actually covers more skin.
Like, it's a little bit more expensive. It covers more skin. It's slightly more expensive looking. Like, it feels like you put more effort in than bike shorts and a tank top.
It shows off the abs. So, you know, most of the Fab Five, they're all pretty happy about that.
And Hiro doesn't take it off.
He loves it. He gets it in, like, what, 5 colors?
Yeah, and, like, the yoga pants have, like, designs on them, so they match. So yeah, he looks like he's gonna go be like 80s like workout guy. It's his active wear outfit, and it looks like intentional active wear, unlike, oh my gosh, I just had like a 40k bike ride.
Okay, so that's Hiro with Tan. Okay,
Hiro with Tan. Okay, we also did Hiro with Karamo a little bit. Okay, so.
Oh.
Let's
move on to Bobby, because the color theory works into that. Yeah.
No, okay. Let's leave Bobby for now. Okay, so duo with Tan, because we'll just go down the list.
Okay.
1 to 5.
Tan would have so much fun with Duo. Okay.
Oh my gosh, Duo would be a riot.
He'd be so open to everything.
Except, I feel like Tan actually would get pretty, they would get actually, like, Hiro, I mean, Duo would not be expecting it. He would not expect this to be where he sort of breaks down.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, Tan asks about the collar.
Oh, of course he would.
You know, the collar and the jacket. And it becomes a thing. And they have some real talk. And that's where Duo realizes, oh shit, like, this is, like, they're, like they're, this is real. This isn't just
lol. They're actually wanting to talk to me about shit.
Yeah. And I think he goes with it. And they talk about, like,
stuff. Yeah, no, they would. And Tan would be, one, he'd be really, obviously, open to it. But also, he'd be really concerned because it's, are you holding on to this because it's tangible proof of something that's happened to you? and is it actually more damaging?
And of the one place that accepted
and
you.
Is it like legitimate like memoriam, or is it now your safe space?
And is it a guilt thing? You know, like, here are all the, because there are reasons that, like, there are really good reasons to hold on to this, but there are also some reasons that maybe we need to deal with. So, yeah, I think Tan is where, like, because I think Duo was maybe expecting the food thing.
Yeah,
to be a little iffy with him. Like, he knew food was going to be a thing. He was not expecting clothing to be a thing. He was also expecting hair to be a thing.
Because Jonathan would kind of be enamored with his hair. Not gonna lie.
Like, he expected to fight for his hair, and he didn't end up
if anybody was gonna understand long hair, it's gonna be Jonathan.
But after they get past the like, priest collar thing. Yeah, Duo and Tan have a riot.
Absolutely. Okay. Tro. So, Tro's fashion sense in canon. There are some notoriously bad choices.
I feel like, okay, so here's the thing. Everyone thinks Troa is, like, so mysterious. Mm-hmm. And I think the guys kind of think that, too. Relina definitely thinks that. They find out in this episode that Troa has zero taste.
Yeah, he's completely, like, tasteless.
Clothing, hair, apartment.
I mean, admittedly, like, we knew about the hair choice.
Yeah, but, like, I feel like his apartment is just, like, atrocious.
Oh, yeah.
Like, hilariously atrocious. Like, you know how there was the swing in the one guy's room?
Yes.
It's like that. It's like, there's circus equipment, like, everywhere.
Yeah.
There's a dartboard, like, with, like, knives in it, which looks like a serial killer's room.
And, like, mismatched furniture, except it's, like, it's not even, like, a good mismatched. It's, like, there's, like, an industrial table and, like, a 60s grandma couch.
And, like, obviously both have been salvaged.
Yeah.
From someone's dumpster.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's just...
it's a mess.
But Troa thinks it's fine. Like, he's like, this is my aesthetic.
And Q, and also, I think as well, like, Q realizing, like, oh.
Q realizing his boyfriend is actually kind of a mess.
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't really think that Q would have really been in Tro's space much.
And I think that Troa dresses for Catra.
Oh, absolutely.
When they're together. Like, when they're together, he knows what Catra likes, so he dresses for that. So Catra doesn't really see him in, like, oh, I'm gonna run to the grocery store.
Yeah.
Type clothes.
Yeah.
Which... yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just like the dawning horror of everyone involved, where Troa's like, I'm fine, like, my aesthetic is good, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, he literally doesn't have taste.
Yeah.
Like it's not even that he's a mess, it's that this is literally what he wants his aesthetic to look like. Like, he thinks this is good.
Yeah. Like, Tan taking him shopping would just be Tan stepping into a store and going, show me what you would buy.
And then we're going to go in the opposite. Like, we're going to take one of these pieces.
And then go in the opposite direction.
No. We're going to take one of these pieces and then we're going to create an outfit that actually works around it. Mm-hmm. Like, you can pick, like, pick four pieces that you really like, and we will create outfits that actually go with them.
Yeah, because fashion isn't about, like, diminishing personality. Obviously, he likes these pieces for a reason. What reason that is, Tan has no fucking idea. But he's gonna work with it, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, come on. And they come out looking banging. They come out looking banging. Like, it's awesome.
And but, I think also, yeah. like, Troa obviously knows how to dress to fit in places.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he can look at, you know, what people are expected to wear around Catra or what people are expected to wear to X event and go, okay, and put something together that looks exactly like he should be there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that when you get down to his personal style, like, that's where Tan has to go, like, okay.
Yeah. Oh god, I love that. Right.
Okay. So, hey. Now we're at Catra.
No. Oh yeah, Q. Oh my goodness. Okay, so Q is very well dressed. Q has a lot of designer clothing, a lot of really great clothing. He knows how to dress himself. And he doesn't think that there's any problem with it.
Nope.
But I think, I can't remember what we had for him, whether it was like there was no true personality in it because he's always dressing for what's expected of him, or whether it was like his clothing outside of that just is bland, nothing, like, just,
yeah, like, I was thinking, yeah. that like he, like, Troa's personal style is
and then
Q doesn't really have a personal style
because he's never really, like, had the opportunity to develop one.
Yeah, like, it's always professional.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's always in the public eye. It's always professional.
Yeah.
So, like, with him, Tan really has to work to get him down to casual.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, what is your casual look? What do you want to hang around the house in? Because there's more comfortable things to hang around the house in than just button downs.
Yeah. And, like, pressed slacks. And loafers.
Yeah.
Like.
I do think that Tan and Q would have, like, that Tan would not, his segment wouldn't be very big in Catra's episode.
No.
Like, because of all Catra's problems, like, finding a casual style isn't actually big of a deal. Because, like, Catra will have issues. Don't you worry.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, that, like, it's starting to break down the I am always perfect and professional and the perfect son and a Gundam pilot and always in control.
Yeah. Karamo's gonna have a time with Catra.
Oh, yeah. Especially because Catra thinks there's nothing wrong.
Oh, yeah. He's in denial. Okay. Last one for Tan. Faye. Now,
oh, my baby Faye.
Immediately we have the issue of morning colors.
Yeah, so I think, like, and I think Tan and Wu Fei would talk about grief and mourning, and I get the feeling, like, in Wu Fei's episode he's already had a breakthrough with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else has gotten him actually to buy in to the Fab Five, to the Queer Eye experience.
You know who I think it would be?
Mm.
Anthony.
Anthony.
Food.
Okay, let's keep that in.
Yeah, keep that in mind. Heads. Okay.
Because, so he's already bought in, so when Tan, like, takes him clothes shopping, he is very upfront with, my wife died, like, these are the Chinese mourning colors. And then they have a discussion about Chinese customs and mourning colors and that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's really quite good as well, because they both have obviously a really heavy cultural background.
Mm-hmm.
so if anybody's gonna get it, it's gonna be Tan.
Yeah. And then Tan is like, okay, you can wear mourning colors, and you can pay tribute to her, but you can do it in ways that don't negatively impact your current life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, pay tribute, pay respect to her. Don't use her as a reason to not do things. Like,
yeah.
And don't disgrace her memory by having her mourning clothes, like, make you look, like, terrible.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, I just had this cute, I don't know if it'd be appropriate, but I just had this cute idea of Tan just, like, asking him what were her colors. Like,
oh, that would be so great.
Yeah, like what were her colors? Like, what can we do to try and bring in color in a way that's not going to be disrespectful?
Yeah, and, like, he can still wear articles of white clothing, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, let's start to introduce color, and let's have these items in your wardrobe so that when you feel like you can wear them, they're there.
Yeah, and you'll be ready.
And yeah, you'll be ready for maybe one day, you know, you're thinking about her and like, gold is just, yes.
Because
I think of her colors as like, golden red.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So, yes. Okay, let's move on to Karamo.
Karamo, because Karamo has a lot to do with all the boys.
And we've already talked about Karamo and Hiro.
Mm-hmm.
About how Karamo really pairs with Tan, with Hiro.
Yeah. Because admittedly, I think as well, Hiro is a tough nut to crack. But once they kind of start getting in little ways, like, then it's easier.
Yeah. Yeah. So Karamo
has,
like,
more of, like, a non... Like, he's not, like, completely hands-on. It's more in, like, a collaborative role with all of them.
Yeah.
With Hiro.
And I feel like, Karamo... Like, we've already talked about Karamo and Hiro and how Karamo really sort of walks him through interacting with people.
Mm-hmm.
In non-violent, non-aggressive ways. Like, how do you interact with regular people? How do you know if they want to be talked to? How do you know what to talk about? What the fuck yeah. is small talk, and why do we do it?
Exactly.
Also, don't forget the hilarious bit with Karamo and Tan, where Hiro, I forget why, but Hiro says something about his gun. And both of them are like, what? You have a gun? He's in his spandex and yes! tank top. And they're like, what? You have a gun? And he's like, oh, don't worry. I have a concealed carry license. And they're like, no, where do you keep it?
And he just pulls it out. And they, like, have no idea where the fuck it came from.
But, like, it's one of those things where, like, Hiro, and then the camera cuts to, like, their faces, and then cut back to Hiro, and he's holding a gun. Like, no one has any clue where he gets this thing.
No. And it's just this moment of, like, Tan and Karamo just like, holy shit, that's a loaded weapon.
Yeah.
Like,
that
oh my
you
God.
Possibly kept in your pants? Like, I don't understand what is going on here. Like,
there was no bulge. Where did you yeah. keep that?
Like, yeah. Anyway.
Okay, all right. So Karamo and...
Duo!
Okay, all right.
Oh, we're getting deep.
This is going to get deep as well, because obviously, Duo's got a lot of issues.
Oh my gosh.
And
they talk about grief.
They do. They absolutely do.
And guilt. There's a yeah. lot about survivor's guilt in there.
Oh, yeah. And the thing as well, Karamo, he's experienced in, like, psychoanalyzing, and mm-hmm. he's got that knowledge, and but also, like, personal experiences of grief and of, like, loss.
Mm-hmm.
So he would probably connect in some quite deep ways, and because without even meaning to, sometimes Karamo can like touch on something and it just flicks switches.
Yeah.
To like bring on emotion. And then he gets like shocked, but not like shocked. He's like, yeah, no, I kind of knew that was going to happen. But at the same time, I'm happy and I'm proud that you're opening up. And Duo, he's quite a contrary personality to Duo, because Karamo's very calm, very collected, very, but at the same time, very fun. And Duo,
I feel like they have a lot of fun.
Oh yeah. But as well, Duo coming into it originally, for the lols.
Just like, lol! And then Karamo gets things serious.
And he's like, oh shit.
I do think though that Karamo is making no headway with him. Like, he's trying, but no headway until the thing with Tan.
Yeah. Because that's when Duo realizes that, like, this is...
Or no, not even with Tan. You know what? I want to retcon that.
Yeah.
We're retconning it. It's going to be with Jonathan. With the hair.
Oh my God. Okay, all right. Well, so we'll keep that in mind, but we'll talk about Karamo.
Like that's his breakthrough moment.
Yeah.
Oh. So, like...
God, Duo's is intense. Karamo is... Eyes.
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh, and now I'm thinking of Bobby. Like, okay.
Like, so... Yeah, I know, right?
Right?
Like, so Duo is, so, like, Karamo is just not getting anywhere. Duo is just like, lols!
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm here for the lols, it's great, let's go do things. And, like, he's answering honestly, but, I mean, that's his thing, he doesn't lie.
Yeah.
And then Jonathan takes him to, like, get his hair done and just... Like, it's Jonathan, and then it's Tan, and then Karamo is there and is like, oh God, now I have to hold this shattered human being together.
Oh, poor Karamo.
Like, now I have to, like, now we have to sit down and have some very serious conversations about, like, survivor's guilt. Because, oh God, this guy seemed okay, but no.
No, he's really not. Okay.
Which is honestly, like, Duo's message for the show, like, Hero's message, because they're doing this as a, like, 1 year, yay, peace thing. And there's lots of veterans. So, like, Hero's message is for veterans that are having trouble connecting, right? Like, that's sort of what it's centered around, is, like, connecting back with society.
Yeah.
Or, in Hero's case, connecting with society for the first time ever, but still. Duo's is for victims of, like, of the war. Like, people who have gone through stuff. Because him, especially with Karamo, like, but with all the guys, it's survivor's guilt. Mm-hmm. Tons and tons of survivor's guilt. So that's him. And they probably do, like, I mean, they do some awesomely fun stuff and get some awesome footage as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
God. Because usually Karamo's segments are, like, they'll go and do something that they like, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, Duo, well, he's Duo. And I'm just, I don't know whether or not, like, he'd take him onto the streets. Or he'd, like, just, they just go walking somewhere. But then my brain just said, oh, you know, Duo is an infiltrator.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I have this image of, like, Karamo taking him for a walk just on the streets. Because he knows that this is a big part of Duo's, like, background and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And they walk through a not great part of town. But obviously, like, they have a crew and camera and all of that stuff with them. So it, like, mitigated risk, right?
Yeah.
Except then Duo is like, oh, man, that building, it looks like just like this blah, blah, blah one. Okay, we have to do this thing.
Okay.
And Karama's like, do what?
Oh,
and
no.
Duo turns around and I don't know whether this is before or after his breakthrough, but he's like, no, you want to see where I'm from? you're going to see where I'm from. And then he and Karamo and, like, one camera guy, or possibly they grab, like, a GoPro or something.
Yeah.
Like, they break into this building.
Oh my God.
And Karamo yes. is like, Karamo is like, I am a black man breaking into this building. This is not going to go well.
Yeah. Like, I mean, whether it's an abandoned like, building or not.
And Duo's like, it's fine. This building is owned by the mob. They owe me a bunch of favors.
Oh, God. Before Duo's episode, like, there's just, like, this little warning. Of just, no crimes were committed in the making of this film.
Oh my gosh, yes, no crimes were committed in the making of this episode. Everybody's like, why is there a warning? And then they're like, oh. But if you right. if you look at it, like if you're watching the episode, you assume it's staged.
Yeah, but no, it's not.
Not staged.
It's not. Duo just pacifies the mob. Okay, I love that so much.
Oh, okay. Okay, Troa and Karamo.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be a lot of, like, finding out who you really are.
Yeah, it's a lot of, like, identity stuff.
Yeah, and I think that's all we really need to say on it. They yeah. probably go to a circus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and Tro gets to perform.
Okay. That's awesome.
Like, that's, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Q's is very hands-on with Karamo.
I think Karamo is the person that gets through to Q.
Absolutely. Because it's a lot of, like, breaking down his walls of this is who I'm expected yeah. to be and just being himself. And not being so wound up in control.
Yeah. For him, it's letting go of control. Yeah. It's like Karamo takes him to something where, like a roller coaster or something, where he is not in control.
Mm. Because so. As well, like, they talk a bit about Q's family as well.
Yeah.
And yeah. how, like, yeah, there's just a lot of stuff there to unpack. Yeah.
And I think Q goes into Karamo segments, like, he goes into the whole thing going, like, I'm good, there's nothing wrong, but, like, I'll give it a try, like, you know.
Yeah.
Let them help me with all these problems I don't have right now. And then Karamo is like, yeah, no, let me help you with all your problems. And Q is like, no. Like, but he buys in and lets him in. Just,
yeah.
He is shown that, you know, maybe he has more to work on.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Wufei. I feel like we don't really need to say anything about Wufei. It's just a lot of grief.
Yeah. And, like, if like, the focus of his thing is loss.
Yeah.
And just recovery.
Yeah. Just
loss and grief.
And anger. And anger yeah. is the thing about healthy yeah. ways to harness your anger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, which Wufei has the seeds of already with, like, martial arts and sword work and that sort of stuff. Like, but it's like how to do this healthily.
Jonathan?
Yeah, let's do Jonathan next, because Jonathan will be heavy with Duo, but probably fairly light for everybody else.
Yeah. Okay, so Hiro, I mean...
Hiro doesn't understand.
No. But basically, it's a lot of Jonathan cooing. A lot of this is Jonathan cooing over how good they look.
Yes. Yes, it is. It's a lot of all of the guys commenting on how good they look.
Yes.
But I feel like somebody, because if this is like a year after the war, reminder that they are max 17.
Oh, yeah, as well.
So it's a lot of the guys going, oh my gosh, these guys are so hot. Wait. They're not
teenagers,
legal.
Like,
back off.
Yeah. But, like, I think we had this thing with, like, Jonathan teaching Hiro about what personal grooming actually is about.
Yeah.
And, like, there was a thing with moisturizer and just, like, you know, showing him that, like, look, take care of your skin. It'll take care of you. Like, you've got perfect skin anyway, but, you know, just act like a normal human being and who doesn't have, like, perpetually perfect skin, please. Because that's just really, really upsetting to me that you don't have to work for this.
But I feel like the other thing about Jonathan and all of them is they all have scars.
Yes.
Like, and a fair number of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So just, like, to add that to the conversation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I feel like, let's leave Duo for the end here.
Yeah. With Catra, they have a grand old time.
Oh, they have a grand old time.
I know.
I don't think there's any real progress made there. No. There's just a lot of fun.
There's just a lot of, like, cooing over the baby blues and the beautiful blonde.
I feel like Troa. Oh, Troa.
Oh, Troa with that hair.
Your hair. I don't even know what the outcome is because I don't want to deprive Troa of his trademark bangs, but at the same time, I feel like they do talk about hiding.
Yes.
And hiding behind his hair.
Yeah. And I think as well, like, Jonathan would be like, look, here's a few options if you decide you want to change something, but if you're not comfortable, then I'm not going to change you.
Yeah.
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 Faye.
I think maybe he tries to get him, instead of from combing it all forward, to comb it to the side more.
Yeah.
So he has the thing where you have it long on one side and undercut on the other.
Yeah.
Like, and shaved on the other. And he tries to work him more towards that. It's like, you can pull it all forward if you want to, hide behind it, but try to sort of pull it back.
Yeah.
A little more. Like, let's try to hide less.
Yeah.
Wufei. I don't even know Wufei.
Yeah, honestly.
I feel like Wufei would just be like, do whatever. I don't care.
Like, Jonathan except, would just, yeah.
Except that part of it is that Wufei's hairstyle is fairly traditional.
Yeah.
Like, he's a traditional guy.
Mm. And I think as well, like, Jonathan would be on, like, look, in taking, like, because obviously Wufei takes care of himself, but, like, like, giving him, like, obviously he'd want to give it a trim, he'd want to clean it up a bit, just go, okay, well, what can we do to help you take care of your hair better? Because I know from some of my friends, there's a lot of issues that can come up with, like, Asian hair. There's a lot of issues. So just, it's a matter of, like, proper hair care. Especially if you do want to keep it that long.
And maybe slightly looser ponytails.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that might help with your headaches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Duo.
But it's pretty surface level stuff, except for, I mean, Troa not so much, and Duo. Mm-hmm. So this is Duo's breakthrough moment, because grooming is one of the first things that they do with Duo. Mm-hmm.
Because it's obvious with that hair. Like.
Yeah. And so Duo is totally fine. Well, no. I feel like Duo is like, please don't touch it.
Yeah.
Like, just...
Because going just, in, he had the expectation that, like, they'd want to cut it.
Yeah. And, like I'll wash it myself. Like, please just don't touch my hair. And that's where the breakthrough happens. Because he and Jonathan talk about his hair and talk about...
I've literally got the most visceral image in my head of exactly how that conversation would go with Jonathan, like, down to Jonathan's, like, voice inflections. And I'm like, oh, like, my heart.
Are you going to share with the class?
Oh, no, just, like, Duo just, like, don't touch it. And Jonathan just, like, hands on his shoulders, just, why? No, why? Like, it, like, being this thing of, like, no, like, tell me why. Like, I genuinely want to know. And it's, like, one of those jump cuts between, like, Duo in the mirror and Jonathan. And it's just, like, Duo looking really, like, not uncomfortable, because it takes a lot to make Duo look uncomfortable. But being apprehensive to talk about it, because he doesn't talk about this stuff ever.
But then he does.
Yeah, then he does.
Because Jonathan gets him to talk about it.
Yeah, because Jonathan would be like would reassure him, like, I don't want to cut your hair. Like, it is beautiful. Like, you take care of it.
We just want to take care of it.
Yeah, and like we want to make sure like because I want to know like everybody's
why it means so much
for their styles, you know, and also how long have you been growing this, like,
and like why it means so much to you, because obviously it means
something
like so much that you won't let me touch it. So anyway, then Duo kind of has a breakdown in the hairstylist chair.
Yeah. And then follow Tan, follow Karamaru. It's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
He heals. Okay, Bobby.
Bobby? Okay. Right. So
Bobby and Hiro is just sort of, it sort of follows with the color theory thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot about, like, who you want in your space, what you want your space to say about you. And also, certain colors, like, studies have been done about the sort of emotional reactions that you get from being in a space with that is that color.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, let's use this to our advantage.
Yeah.
That's those two.
Mm-hmm. And also...
And it's like, also about, like...
It's also, like, the aesthetic choice of, like... architecture. So like, okay, so Hiro's got a very minimalistic, fairly plain style.
Fairly minimalistic, fairly plain. Utilitarian.
I mean, utilitarian. But also, like, he lives, I think we had him living in a fairly industrial space as well.
Yes. Yes. So, and we're gonna ignore the whole, like, they don't want people in their space thing. We're just gonna go with the guys go into their space.
Yeah. But also, he lives security.
He lives like in a giant warehouse.
Yeah.
And in, like, so there was a lot of stuff. Yeah, and there was a lot of stuff about, okay, let's put different flooring here. Like, let's divide the space into what it's used for, so that you have delineated places. Like, you have an office, you have a bedroom, you have a kitchen. So that you have spaces that you can use for things, so that it's not all just a jumbled mess.
Mm-hmm. And also so that when you're using a specific space, it's for that specific thing. It's not like you can't, don't take your office work into your kitchen or your bedroom. Like,
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And sleep in your bedroom, not on the, like, on your sleeping bag. I mean, on your punching bag.
Okay.
Troa? Troa. Just Troa.
Yeah, like, we've already basically covered what his space is like.
It's a mess. And here's the thing. I think I want Bobby. So Bobby is the first inkling that they get of this, because they walk into the house because they're like, let's see your place. And they do the thing where they go through their place and just, like, you know, talk about all the stuff that they find there. And, like, Bobby is just, like, I feel like he's just standing in the doorway, just, like, unable to even move past the doorway.
Honestly, please, we need, like, that shot, like, of the camera turning to Bobby and him just standing there, just, like, wide eyes and just, like, a hand on the doorframe, and just slowly pulls that hand off.
He's like, I want to leave.
And with, like, the zooms, like, the multiple zooms into his face, just, like...
It's like, what is this? I can't believe what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Like, I've been in some truly terrible dorm rooms before, but this...
This takes the cake.
Like, and the thing is, it's not messy. Like, it's perfectly clean.
Yeah.
It's just, what is going on? Yeah.
And Jonathan would have so much fun with the circus equipment. That's all I'm going to say on that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because there's circus equipment everywhere. And I feel like... Bobby keeps the circus equipment.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
He just integrates it way better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like that's all we need to say about that. Okay. Hiro Space gets a makeover with like delineating spaces. So here's the thing, they go into Catra's house. And he had a professional designer design his house.
Yeah, like, he has an interior decorator. Like,
it's... Like, his family has an interior decorator that just does all their houses. The thing is that there's none of Catra in this house.
Yeah.
Like, he was obviously given this house by his family. and it was decorated by his family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Like,
yeah, like there's nothing personal. There's no personal touches. Mm-hmm. There's no real,
yeah,
like, this is Q's space.
Yeah.
Like, the closest thing to it would be The Office.
Yeah, which,
yeah, I know.
So I feel like Bobby doesn't touch most of the space. Bobby takes, like, this is a really easy week for Bobby.
Oh, yeah.
Because he takes, like, the living room and the bedroom, I think.
Yeah, that'd be
And not, like, the formal living room, but, like, the place where Catra actually hangs out. And he takes those two places and redoes them, like, and talks with Catra a lot about who, like, what do you want in your mm-hmm. space? Like, what kind of functionality do you want in a living space where people aren't going to see it unless they're good friends? Like, you don't have to worry about inviting people over. They have doors that close. Like, you're not going to have business associates into your bedroom.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you're that kind of businessman.
Yeah, well, Q's not really that type of businessman.
No, but like, so you're not going to have business associates into your bedroom, so that your bedroom can be whatever you want it to be. So, what do you want it to be?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's okay. A lot of what they talk about with him.
Get to Wufei first.
I feel like Wufei and Bobby are a lot of tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of... I feel like... Okay, so first off, I feel like Wufei is just living in an apartment that has no decoration.
Okay.
Like, he really hasn't decorated at all. Because Wufei didn't expect to live past the war.
Yeah.
Like, he has no stuff. All of his, like, things were blown up.
Yeah.
So, like, he doesn't have anything. He has an apartment or warehouse or whatever. Like, he has a house because the Preventers bought it for him.
Yeah.
Like, Preventers or Relina or somebody as, like, war effort, you're a war hero, here, you know.
Yeah.
Like, the Preventers were like, you need a permanent residence.
We need somewhere to send your mail.
Yeah. Okay, he has a condo. There we go.
Okay.
He has a condo and a nice, like, locked condo building, etc. type deal.
Yeah.
And, like, but yeah, that's, but he has nothing to put in it.
Yeah. And I think as well, a part of Bobby would be, it's okay to actually put down roots here.
Yes. Yes. Bobby and him would be, oh man, that would be.
Yeah.
Because everybody else is dealing with his grief. And Bobby is like, it's okay to live.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to be present in this space, to make it yours. It's okay to buy things again, to have. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to buy the cheapest of everything because the war is over. It's not going to be blown up.
Yeah.
But you aren't going to lose it again.
And also, just because the people that you've lost are not there to fill the space doesn't mean that you can't have the space.
Yeah. And, like, we can bring those people into the space so that you don't forget about them.
Mm.
Again, in healthy ways.
Yes.
Like, he probably has, like, I don't know if Chinese culture does shrines, like, small shrines.
I'm not certain.
To ancestors type things. But if they do, there's definitely one of those there with Marin's picture, for sure.
Absolutely.
Or at least, probably not a picture because there probably aren't any pictures of her.
Yeah.
Which is heartbreaking.
Oh.
You know what? You know what Karamo does? Okay, regardless of shrine-ness, one of the things Karamo does for Wufei, on top of all of the stuff with, like, healthy grieving, healthy anger, all of that stuff.
I know where this is going.
he does a lot of research and comes up with pictures of his family somehow on some database somewhere, and he makes him a photo album.
I knew where this was going. Fuck off. Oh, shut up. No, no, no. No, this is not okay.
Are you okay?
No, you asshole. I'm crying. As soon as you said that there weren't pictures, I'm like, oh god, I know where this is going.
Should we? Okay, so Wufei's space ends up. Wufei's space ends up like very traditional Chinese.
Yeah.
Meets like a very modern flair. It's extremely stylish, actually.
Yeah.
And Duo and Bobby.
Duo and Bobby, right.
Religion.
One.
Religion. Yes.
That's one thing. But also, homelessness.
Oh! Oh my gosh! No! Duo, you have all the problems! I was expecting Wufei to be the angst bucket, but no! No.
That's why I said with Bobby, I'm like, oh my god, wait, hold on. Duo's homelessness. Never had place, and also, like, not only was the last place that Duo felt comfortable calling a home was that went up in flames and everyone he loved.
And it was a church.
And it was a church. And also Bobby and Duo having that connection with religion.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my gosh. So where does, like, I assume that Troa has an apartment somewhere.
Yeah.
Or a condo, probably, so that they can modify it.
Yeah.
Catra, I mean, Wufei has a condo.
Yeah.
I mean, Catra has a mansion.
Yeah. And you just call it a house. It's like a summer home in the Hamptons.
Yeah. Ugh, fuck off, Catra. And Hero has his warehouse.
I think Duo has a flat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking, it'd have to be a small space.
Oh, because, okay, here's what I was thinking. Hero doesn't actually have a space when the Fab Five get there. Okay. They're like, let's see your home. And he's like, well, I've got a hotel room. And they're like, what? Like, what do you mean you don't have a house or a space or whatever? And he's like,
no. Shut up.
And then, so what Bobby ends up doing is not only, like, this is the heavy episode. I mean, this episode is heavy for everyone.
Oh, yeah.
but this is extra heavy for Bobby because what he does, and I think Karamo does a lot with this as well.
Oh, yeah.
Duo buys a house this episode.
Oh, God.
Because, I mean, he has the funds.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely. It's not like he doesn't have the money. But, like, they help him find a house that he likes, and he buys it. And then Bobby fixes it up for him.
Oh, yeah. And then Bobby does Bobby's thing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, the emotion. And, like, and that, again, comes into talking about homelessness and, like, why do you have a hotel room? And it's like,
why do you live in a hotel room?
I think the transient sort of temporary thing is comforting.
Yeah. This having a permanent space is not comfortable for him.
No, it's scary because, again, the last permanent space he had, the only one down. He'd ever had. Yeah.
I do think here's a growth moment for Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
So they've talked, he and Duo have talked a lot about how the only permanent home he's ever had burned down and also that it was a church.
Yeah.
I think Bobby and Duo, they actually make some, like, Christian decorations.
Yeah.
For the house.
Yeah.
And it's a big moment.
Yeah. The other thing that I kind of want is I want Karamer to take, like, them to mass.
Not Bobby. Bobby wouldn't go.
No, Bobby wouldn't go. But I kind of want Karamer to give Dior that option.
Yes. Yes. I like it. They go to mass.
Yeah. Because it essentially, it's the first service he's gone to.
Yeah. Well, since he was whatever. Since I assume they did services.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it's a queer-friendly church and all of that jazz, like...
Yeah, exactly.
That has really awesome outreach programs and everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
My God, okay.
Anthony! Finally!
Anthony!
Okay. If Tana's your favorite, Anthony, hands down, is my favorite.
Really? I never knew that. Okay.
Yes, Anthony, by far, like, by far, is my favorite. I love him, every bit of him.
Yeah.
Be still my heart. Okay. Hero and food. Okay, so if you're listening to this and you have listened to our not fic of The Tavern.
Yeah.
You'll know a little bit about our sort of headcanon about hero and food. If not, you should go listen to it because it's so wholesome.
It's honestly like the most wholesome thing. Go do it.
Anyway, so Hero doesn't understand food. Like, I mean, he understands fueling his body, but that's what power bars are for. Like, he gets all of his vitamins and minerals, and it's fine. And Anthony, like, shows him how to, like, that food can taste good.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, sure, there's convenience in this, but there's a difference between convenience and, like, convenience in nutrition and, like, feeling good about the food that you eat. Because food can taste good. It can be an experience. It can, like, change. It can also help you, like, relate to people as well. Like, it's a whole
journey. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's mostly what we had for Anthony and Hero. Yeah. Relating to people. And also food. Food can be more than just fuel.
Yes. But we also had him. We also had him teaching Hero how to make food that has essentially exactly the same kind of nutrients as he would with, like, his daily meals.
Yeah, with his power bars and stuff. And, like, yeah, this meal has all of the same stuff that is in your power bar, but it also tastes good.
Yeah.
Hero's mind is blown.
Yeah, and if you want, you can make this for other people.
And they'll want to eat it.
Exactly.
They will join you. And, yeah, Hero's mind is a little blown.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, we'll get back to Duo.
Yeah, Troa.
So if we want to go the Lulzy version, Troa's taste in food is just as bad as his taste in everything else.
Oh no. Troa is a train wreck.
He's not.
He just has different parameters
than everybody else.
He just alarms every single one of the Fab Five.
I really do like it that they were expecting that this guy had bought in. He seemed really great. Like, he was on board, and oh my gosh, what?
Yeah. Like, there has to be, like, that Zoom moment with each one of the Fab Five in this episode.
I think Troa has a lot of lingering stuff to do with the fact that he was raised by a mercenary company.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of, like, stuff out of tins.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of, like, reheatable meals.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of stuff. And a lot of just, like, the weirdest, like, the kind of thing where you're like, Troa, are you pregnant? Like, really?
Oh.
But it's like, just Antony's what, teaching him to cook, and it's, like, a savory meal, and he, like, reaches for, like, maraschino cherries that are randomly in his cupboard. And Antony's like, why?
Like, what are you doing? But also, I think, like, Antony would be able to connect with Troa being really well-traveled.
Yes.
And, like, being like, okay, well, look, did you ever get to try any food from places? Like, what kind, like, we can bring in your experiences, and then, like, you can tie everything that you do to food. And, like, you can be really present and, like, memories, like, building memories with food.
And I think, like, that works really well for Troa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Catra.
Catra.
Okay, okay. I want to go ultra lulzy with Catra here.
Do it.
Because we're going to get into Wufei and Duo, and that's going to be really hard.
They're really heavy.
Really heavy. Let's do ultra lulzy first. Catra doesn't know how to cook.
No.
He's had to cook his entire life.
Yes.
This is where we get Antony teaching someone how to make a sandwich.
Yes, please.
Like, how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. This is what Antony is doing for this episode.
Yes.
And I feel like Antony actually has a fairly large segment in this episode because, like, Bobby's job is pretty easy. There's almost nothing with Jonathan and grooming. There is quite a bit with Tan and clothing and finding yourself and with Karamo. But there's also a lot of, like, oh my gosh, you spoiled rich kid.
Yeah, because honestly, I just have this image of, okay, so where's your kitchen? And Q is just like, what?
I feel like Q knows exactly like, where the kitchen is, but he's like, okay, it's this way. Also, I have to ask the cook if we're allowed to be in there.
Yeah. And, like, Antony's immediately like, you have a cook. Of course you do. Spoiled rich kid.
I also think, though, here's the thing. They would get a little deep here because Antony would go, like, what do you like to eat? Like, even making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, like, how much peanut butter do you want on it? You get to choose because you're making it.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, this moment of, like your meals have always been prepared for you. You don't get to choose necessarily what you want to eat every evening. You don't choose what the ratio is. Like, you don't have control over that aspect of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you're all about control and all of the other aspects of your life. Okay, so, Q, you have everything, like, you have control over all these other aspects of your life, and you should maybe work at being in situations where you're not in control a lot of the time. But this is a place where you've never had control.
Mm-hmm. Like and it's a good... He doesn't even really know what he likes.
Like, I mean, he knows what he likes and what he doesn't like, but
being
able to actually create that... And being able to create stuff with your own hands.
Yeah.
Is a big thing for Q. Yeah. Like, create this physical thing with your own hands that you can give to other people and have them be happy.
Oh, that's huge for Q.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Wufei, where you said this was his breakthrough.
Yeah.
Food was his breakthrough because history.
And culture.
And culture. I feel like Karamo and Antony and him, they go to, like, a really traditional Chinese restaurant and get to, like, tour the kitchen and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And eat the food there. I feel like that's, like, really, really traditional stuff. The kind of stuff that Wufei would have grown up with as a kid. And, that's when Wufei breaks.
Oh.
Is sitting in that restaurant. With Karamo and Antony.
Oh, my heart.
And Antony, so Karamo, okay, so I'm going to do the thing again. I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
Karamo goes and finds pictures, right?
Yeah.
Antony does a lot of research and comes up with, as best as he can figure out, as close as he can figure out to L5 specific recipes.
I knew this was going there.
And teaches Wu Fei how to make them. So Wu Fei has this bit of culture. And he, like, Wu Fei makes corrections when they make it. Like, he tastes it and he's like, no, this isn't right. It needs more of this. Or less of that.
Oh, Fei.
So Antony learned something new, too!
Yes! Oh, my God, my heart. Just so many feelings.
Okay, okay. Duo.
Duo.
And food.
And food. So we went over this a little bit in the tavern as well.
I feel like we were going to go over it a lot more. Spoiler warning, we're going to have a Top Chef one come out eventually.
Yeah.
Whenever Arkadyevna and I get around to actually watching Top Chef together.
Yeah, because I haven't seen it. It's not a thing in Australia. We have cooking shows, obviously, but not Top Chef.
So, anyway, and that will have a lot to do with Duo and food.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, Duo's relationship with food, like, I mean, he was homeless. He was starving on L2. Like, yeah. He probably has a history of some eating disorders and stuff just because of being starving and not wanting to waste food and stuff.
And a very unhealthy relationship with that waste of food. And, like, just the necessity of utilizing everything.
Anyway, because we are definitely out of time. And also, I don't want to make Arkadyevna cry again.
Oh, please don't.
Just, it's a heavy segment.
It's very
with Duo
heavy.
And food. That has to do with all of that sort of stuff and involves, like, Antony really digging deep into no waste things and really, like, healthy options and really, like, it gets deep with Duo and food and his relationship to food and getting that healthy. Yay!
Yay!
Okay. Yeah, and that's how it goes. The series is eventually edited all together. As I said, we've glossed over the fact that I truly, in characterization, do not think Hiro would ever let anyone in his house. Much less it be on TV.
Yeah.
However, we're going to gloss over that and just say that it's fine. The thing goes on TV, like, it gets all edited together, and it is a smash success. Also, people definitely figure out that these guys are the Gundam pilots.
Oh, absolutely.
which doesn't necessarily mean good things for them. Also, I feel like the Fab Five did not figure out that these guys were Gundam pilots and are floored when they get interviewed and asked about the Gundam pilots.
Because it's this moment of, wait, oh
shit.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Yes. But they are totally willing to vouch for these guys' goodness.
Yes, exactly.
And there was definitely at the beginning of each episode, they talked to the person who nominated them, and that was Relina for every single one, which goes a long way.
To, like, their public, the public reception.
Yeah. Yeah. And also goes a long way to their viewership.
Oh, like, absolutely.
Just Queer Eye's viewership. Yeah, so it goes well. Yay!
Yay!
The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback for both myself and Arkadyevna. We can be found at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong or
Arkadyevna.
Thanks for listening!
Thank you! It's more than one day.
that you'll be here beside me. It's you and all of the things you do that make it all right. Things keep getting better.
If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback for both myself and Arkadyevna. We can be found at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong or
Arkadyevna.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.